Good morning, everybody.
Hey, what's going on?
There's a lot going on. Anything exciting with you guys first?
Oh my gosh. Nothing. It's been boring.
You don't do anything, do you?
There's never anything cool going on.
Nothing at all. It's just, you know.
Okay, nothing to see here. I want that Leslie Nielsen meme right now with the fireworks going on.
Nothing to see here. Moving on.
Nothing to see. We will have cool stuff to say soon.
Oh, look at that. So random
in anticipation of this stuff.
It's an announcement. An announcement. No. I'm not announcing an announcement.
Yes. So, in preparation for the stuff that the GG Collective and Forged in Crypto and what are the Moth, you know, what all these collaborative guild and just thought efforts, you know, like it's, so much work has been put into so much that's happening right now, and it's about to like start showing. But let's not talk about that today. Let's talk about Gala and what they've been building.
Yeah, what's been going on?
Because they, man, what is it, $67,000 Bitcoin right now? Like,
just
what
crossed.
The heck is going on?
67,042.
This world is heating up. We have a thaw right now, and I think Gala has moved wisely. They've saved a whole bunch of things to talk about for right now, and hopefully this was planned, you know. Hopefully it didn't, or even if it wasn't, let's just hope it works, you know. Like that we have a lot of people that will see everything moving in crypto, and they'll be like, "Hey, where can I get in? What's going to be the good place?" And then all this news coming from Gala, like right now. I mean, without talking about games right off the bat, Gala Swap, you know, like that came kind of out of nowhere to my mind. I'm sure that it took them a while to build it, and I'm sure some people knew about it for a while, but it kind of just slapped me in the face, because for the longest time I was like convinced that we would never see anything like that until we got some sort of like finance minded third party developer to get involved with it. But this with it being just a simple order book, it prevents them from like having to dip their hands into like the banking concept. And I posted a little thing. I don't know if you can show that. There was a post that I pulled out of Discord.
Yes.
I was talking to Jehoshaphat, and he said, I was like, I hope they do this and get some other quality of life stuff. And he's like, this is definitely MVP. So we know that they just wanted to get it out and going and show us. And just like the public development demo for Walking Dead, just like what we're going to see with Miranda's, these are basic concepts, and man, do they have plans to build on it. So like, let's keep that in mind. Let's keep an eye on that stuff.
Yeah, but a lot of people were giving feedback as soon as it came out in Platinum. I know a bunch of us were talking about things that we wanted to see and you know, what needs to happen, and they were listening, which is great. So.
Yeah, I tell you what, like that is probably the biggest encouragement. If any of these groups, any of these developers show that they're listening, that like changes my attitude completely. I hope it works that way for you guys too. But like it's such a weight when they're constantly like either it's dead air or they're just saying, no, we can't tell you anything. It's like that gets like, it's really problematic over, and it doesn't take too long to build up some frustration there. But there have been a lot of things that all of a sudden they're starting to like be able to talk to us or be willing to. I don't know which it is, but it doesn't matter because it's happening. We're getting some more information now, and that's really exciting. But we usually don't talk about the other stuff. We talk about the games here. And I promised the people in gold that I wouldn't like take forever getting around to this particular thing that I wanted to talk about. This might be alpha for most of you. Hey, Tiny. They had a Poker Go Play Discord AMA last week, and they let us know, and they didn't put an announcement out. They just kind of like talked about it, and thankfully they put the recording up so I was able to catch it. But they're going to be getting rid of the sweepstakes tokenomics model, and they're going to be releasing their own token. There's going to be a poker token, and – the model that they're moving to, you're not going to use the poker token at the tables. It's going to be something that you can buy chips with. That's the only thing they've been able to disclose at this point. You're going to be able to buy chips with it and probably other stuff. So the chip count stays the same at the table. Those chips are still just database items that aren't worth anything. It's just like fun poker. But they're going to give you essentially like daily challenges that if you achieve certain things, you're rewarded with the poker token. And then that poker token, again, they did say that it will be on Gala Chain. I don't know if they're going to have a bridge to ETH at first, but maybe. I don't know where the contract's going to be initially. They could only disclose so much. But what they did say is that we can expect a light paper probably tomorrow, so Tuesday, March 5th, and then the token should be going live on Friday. That like they're going to close out this last sweepstakes that we're already in the middle of, and that ends Thursday, and then the token launch is going to follow right on the heels of that. So that's all what is being planned. We hope that that can go off without a hitch. That's really crazy. One of the things that I think it was Ventit who was saying, and if I'm wrong on that, I'm willing to accept a correction. It was hard to tell whose voice was whose because there were two of them that sounded the same. I think it was anyway. Whoever was saying it mentioned that he was looking back at Zynga and poker, Zynga poker, and how to this day that's still one of Zynga's best games. It's been around for 20 years. You know, Zynga poker was probably the other thing that put them on the map, in along with Farmville. So huge success as far as a poker game. And casino games, one of the things they were citing is that casino games almost always tend to be the biggest games for a platform anyways. And so if they can nail the tokenomics on this, if this they can make poker more exciting for people, yeah. This could be a huge invitation to the ecosystem. So, and the other thing they were saying, the sweepstakes thing, that was a really interesting psychological thing that they discovered. The idea of the sweepstakes, you want fewer players. Like as far as if you're a player, you want fewer players. So one of the things that they feel like it was incentivizing people to cheat and multi-account and do everything they can to make it a miserable poker experience so that people would go away and they would be able to get more of the sweepstakes entry or sweepstakes winnings. So they're switching to something that's incentivized for it to be more fun, to have more people, to be more social. And they also said right alongside this, they're also going to be releasing even more anti-cheat measures within the game. So they never really talk about those, but they did say that that's going to be going on. So that's super exciting. Big little piece of news. Did I just say big little? I sure did.
Big little.
That's going to be that's my next sweatshirt. Big little.
Giant shrimp.
So those of you that were hanging on just to hear the alpha, and if you heard it already, like I said, it was out there last week in the AMA, but they really didn't publicize it at all. Most people are just going to get blindsided by an announcement when they release the light paper, and we're all going to be like, whoa, but you heard it here second, maybe first.
Now everybody leaves.
Yeah, but stick around because there's a little bit more alpha that you might have also heard, but a lot of people don't pay attention to the announcements. They don't dig through Discord. And that's what we do here. That's what we take the time to figure it out and then just kind of pleasantly deliver it to you with great conversation, beautiful beards. Oh, my beard is pretty much gone, but you know, it's hanging on.
Baby face over here.
Yeah, that's true. So
moving on.
Yeah, exactly. I do want to like talk about the Common Ground World situation. They did have a town hall last week. We are still stagnating with the nodes to NFTs. They're persistent. The team is still like pushing on with the development of the guild structure. You know, Volcron's able to report on that week to week, but until the chain team meshes everything with whatever they need to be doing for the nodes, they're kind of just plodding along with further development. this is all development that probably could be taking place with it live, but they need to nail the tokenization of the nodes. If they don't get that right, there's gonna be hell to pay.
Well, especially at this point, I mean, because you know we're late, so it's like it better be right when it comes around at this point.
I think there's way more going on with that than just the tech side of things. I know that's probably not the biggest thing. It probably honestly has maybe something to do with the lawsuit stuff. So I don't know where that's at. I don't know anything that's going on there. But there might be some lawsuit issues that's holding up that tokenization of the nodes. I did hear a theory also that the idea of, you know, with Townstar and how they're fractionalizing the nodes, and then, you know, if you bought one for $10,000, you get 10 nodes or whatever that ratio is potentially something that they're looking to do with. This is nothing that Gala said, by the way. This is pure speculation with Founders Notes.
Do not do that.
Now, they can't because
they put a hard cap of 50K on those.
Look, that's FUD. That's pure FUD. There's nothing that's backing that up.
Right.
So I shouldn't even said it. I'm sorry.
If they do that, they will have. They'll open themselves up to a whole lot of nasty attention because they said hard and fast 50K, and that would mean like.
Yeah, but you saw
that, would mean a million Founders Notes out there.
You saw the roadmap. You saw the roadmap.
It doesn't matter.
The roadmap stated that they have the, you know, hey, we might have to increase past 50,000.
But point of purchase is what really matters in regards to that.
Maybe they make people whole, right? Maybe they say, oh, you bought yours at 50,000, so now you're going to get X amount of Founders Notes for the price that you paid. If you bought early on, you only get X amount type of situation. So it kind of gives people the idea that it's fair potentially. Like if they did go down that route. Now, I would have to see the proposal for that right from the get go. I would say heck no. Even though I would not agree with that whatsoever. Even though Nerd Node would probably benefit greatly from that.
That's true.
I don't think I would vote for that unless I could see the reasoning behind it making sense on the side of the node holders. But regardless, that's pure FUD and has nothing to do with games. So let's move on to something that does.
Yeah, Self-Quasso, nice.
Sorry.
We had NFT Harbor announce a special discount for people that were holding the Cruel Fate card that came out of the Mirandus. That was a Miranda's promo, you know.
I think Manny posted it.
Yep.
Yeah,
he did. They have a neat little banner there too. You get 40% off Gala chain fees and 20% off of ETH fees. Now these are the fees associated with NFT Harbor. Don't be running to NFT Harbor thinking you're going to get 40% off of an NFT sale. but even so, like it's a savings on the fees, and that's a really cool perk that Rasta Kip was just willing to kind of partner with Mirandus for. Jason Hughes also posted his weekly. Nice. Lots more promotions coming soon from Rasta Kip. Sounds great, man.
Love what you're doing over there, dude. Keep it up.
Jason Hughes listed his put up his Friday tech announcement. He said that he spent a lot of last week working directly with the chain team to make sure that they can do everything that they want to do for these next tests. So we have the first test coming up, which is just supposed to be get as many people in to see if we can, how fast, it's not even if we can break it, it's how fast we can break it. You know, they want to get 1,000 different moving characters in there with between the deer and the players. That's going to be the initial test. And then the follow-up test is going to be the more persistent one that inevitably will come down for upgrades and everything like that, but it'll be a server that they keep running that we get to play on and harvest Materium from. The other thing that he kind of poked out of that news is he said that Eric has gotten started. I think it was Eric that he mentioned that has gotten started on the loot system, the way that they're going to have the initial thing where it's private to the person, either the person who solo kills it or the multiple people who do enough damage. So there'll be the private opportunity to loot. And then after a certain period of time, anybody will be able to loot that body. And then after even more time, it'll just disappear. And if there's any loot left there, it'll just vanish.
I like this was one of the biggest discussions over the weekend when we were there in Austin. It was kind of preempted, like, okay, we're going to talk about loot. And everyone was like,
take a deep breath.
You know, and they talked about their ideas. And, you know, again, the community was like, you know, they brought up a lot of really good options that could play into it. They had great ideas, and it molded into kind of what you're seeing here, which is great. But I mean, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, because loot's a big one, man. Like, you know, the idea of how people play, who's a part of that team and that guild that's there, you know, and it's all on. It's going to be. Well, I did a podcast with Punjab, actually, and we talked about it at length. And I think I would recommend anybody that wants to hear the real insides of what happened there with some of the guys that were actually on site, you should go listen to that podcast.
The Miranda's
Farmers.
Yeah, can you maybe post that in the description below or something like that?
Yep, I can link that.
That'd be great.
I think that's in last week's notes.
No, I think you're right. I think it was in there too. So.
Okay. The thing that I'm really liking about this, rather than being a WoW copycat and setting up a situation where you have like your party and then the party does this and that, they're really coming up with their own way to do it that still works. You know, I like the idea of a novel loot system that doesn't just piggyback what everybody else is doing because nobody else could come up with a better idea before. Well, now let's come up with a better idea. I love the fact that the community has been able to contribute to it too, but like it might be a little bit for people's minds to kind of snap out of it, because in all of the MMOs since WoW, you've pretty much, and maybe even before that, I never played RuneScape, but I don't know what the party system looked like there, but it's been a very like systematic, you've got your party of say five people, and then there's a loot roll, and then it's just RNG. You know, maybe you get it, maybe you don't. And let's try something different. I really like that idea.
Look, we're in Web3, dude. Web3 is different as is. So let's keep that going.
Yeah. In regards to Eternal Paradox, they started selling the Desert Heat Mercenary Tome. So there's some certain characters when they sell these tomes, they're all based on a certain faction within the game, and a lot of the characters from this faction are of the light variety, and some of them are fan favorites. You've got Shane in there, who last season was super dominant because he got a +100% defense bonus just for the season. This time around, he's still got all his great little quirky features, but he doesn't. He's not quite as beefy, so there aren't as many people using him. But there's also Zara in there. Oh no, I'm sorry, that's not. She's not in there. My bad. Anyway, there are other characters from the desert wind faction in there, and you can take a look at what's available. The store does give you a list of your RNG chances, and you can see which characters are in there and decide whether or not you want to roll the dice on picking up a tome. These tomes are rare and better as compared to those miraculous tomes that were common up to epic. These go rare all the way up to ancient. You could pull an ancient character out of these tomes. They're listed at about 4,500 e-time, which is... I want to say like $75. You can get them in the store in either e-time, Gala, or you can use your credit card for them. On a similar vein, that Champions Arena being also a kind of turn-based RPG, they made a bunch of changes recently. The tokenomics shift that we've kind of been like crying out for, with a cap on victory points, it's finally taken place. So you had people that were able to just like set up a script to auto battle, or not, I don't even think you needed to set up the script. I think the game actually catered to it, where you could just auto battle all day long. It didn't matter if you were winning or losing, you were going up and down. You just needed to win to get victory points. And so people would just harvest victory points all day long by keeping their game running. And that sucked for people because, like, if you're just a casual player, you're watching your ratio go down just because these guys are willing to take a million losses and they won't care about their rating. Okay, so Smiling Monster saying that it doesn't do anything to the people farming since they have several rares to increase their cap. Yes, the cap is still really high if you have multiple NFTs. But I guess I don't know the math on how many people were actually approaching what the cap gives them without auto farming. But like he also said, our next little news blurb is that they're actually going to do an entire overhaul as of March 20th. So the tokenomics are going to change from top to bottom, apparently. And hopefully we see something that is a lot more appealing. But there are still a lot of people that are hanging on and playing. I know I talked to Dark Rift, who was our Walking Dead machine. He's been playing Champions Arena for a long time. And he's really gung-ho about the game. He likes the way that it plays. He says there's some obvious things that he wished they would change. Maybe we'll see some of those things as of March 20th. Another thing that they do, there is one last little detail.
Oh, man.
This is actually a worthwhile thing. They're doing this Gala Infusion event. It started last Thursday, and I think it's supposed to end on Wednesday. But each day they've been putting an extra $1,000 worth of Gala into the prize pool. So each day's prize pool has the extra amount, and that will go until Wednesday, the close of Wednesday. So if you have assets in there that you can earn with, get in there because your earnings are going to be a bit better. Then as of last Thursday, last expedition leaderboards were reset. So they haven't delivered the all the different components that are that represent the prizes for that, but the leaderboard is now refreshed, and they said that last season, I guess you call it a season, but the last leaderboard had the top 10 killed over 93,000 monsters, and they've issued a challenge to see if this time around where they can crack 100,000. Now, apparently they only pulled the numbers from the top 10. So, if everybody gets out there and plays harder, it means that the top 10 are going to be killing more anyways. But we'll see if they can eclipse that. And Echoes of Empire. There was an update last Tuesday, which I think the consensus is that it was a really good move. So far, it has definitely made the game a bit more fun to play. As of now, if you have space left in your fleets, like you get a max cap on the number of fleets that you can send out. One or more of them can be reserved to send out to one of your claims as a patrol unit. And then when someone comes to attack miners on your claims, not only do they attack the mining ship, but they attack it in conjunction with your patrol ships, which is a huge bonus for the people that are mining, because they no longer have to fear facing those ships alone. You know, one of the tactics to take down a mining ship is you just spam them with a bunch of irrelevant ships to chew away at some of their minor defenses. And then when they're weak enough, you send in one big massive ship to try and kind of coup de grace and end the whole situation. Well, now,
did you say coup de grace or coup d'etat?
It's coupe de grace.
Coupe de grace. It's Marquess.
Yeah, right. It's
Marquess.
Shout out, Tim. Speaking of Tim, he released on the, you know, if you go to the ggcollective.gg website, he gave, you know, a February breakdown of kind of his thoughts on Echoes of Empire so far, you know, running the GG Collective side with the ancient claims and some of those legendary and rare claims. You know, I know one of the things he talked about a couple times was the fact that, you know, when we attack, we break the game.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's like kind of one of the big things in terms of that's a really fun aspect that I think a lot of people are looking forward to. And it just isn't quite there yet. You know, the exploration isn't quite fully fleshed out. It's more of a 2X than a 4X right now. You know, there's other little bugs here and there that I think, you know, can be changed and make it a really awesome opportunity. You know, and then I think everyone kind of understands there's a little bit of confusion and just complication with the Stardust to Gala, like the way the tokenomics are working right now don't quite make sense and need some adjustment.
Well, there's really nothing to be said about the tokenomics. You can't really earn anything from the game right now. We had a couple days. If they could piggyback some of what Eternal Paradox did, Smiling Monster has that to say, that like they would probably be able to build something successful from the economy side. What I see them building, and I want to speak into this because I've been playing the game. I also have some of my own personal claims, and I've been building my own account, like slowly, just kind of not grinding it hard, but being faithful to it. You know, some of these building upgrades take like at this point that I'm a week out on some things. You know, I have to wait forever to get done, and so it's that part of it is actually refreshing because it doesn't feel so grindy. But then you can also be like attending to ship production and things like that. So I've been having a whole lot of fun with that, but I was totally keeping to myself. We had a bunch of war talk within our guild about, like, because there are certain characters that are rearing their heads and starting to really antagonize. I honestly, for as problematic as he's been, I do want to give a shout out to Mr. Seven Sources, who also goes by Randy in game. And
Randy what though?
Yeah, well, you can illustrate that to them as much as you want, but I'm going to call him.
Say the whole name. It's Big Dick Randy.
It is. So you made a big deal out of it, and now I look like some kind of prude. But anyway,
sorry.
So Randy,
I'm the big dick now.
He's been pretty much relentless around the ancient claim. He's a Zeta member, and Zeta and Moff seem to be the only really active guilds in it. And so, in order to make the game more exciting for himself, he just started blowing up everybody's ships. Now he is one of the people that did actually spring for some credits and accelerate his building process. So he's got some powerful fleets. You know, he can really send stuff at you. And he was making it really difficult for a lot of the Moth players to be able to do their just mining runs, because you never knew when he was going to be on. And if your ship is caught out there, it's kind of, well, before this update, it was just like he would send like a probe ship to see what you had there, and then he would follow it up with a little bit of cannon fodder, and then he would come in and just pound you with this level 16 legendary ship, and there was nothing you could do about it. It was just you could recall your fleet if you caught it in time, and that was the only thing that you could do. Otherwise, you lost whatever rarity mining ship you had. And that gets really frustrating because you only get so many opportunities to get a new blueprint. It's five quests per day. Maybe you get a legendary out of that, but not always. And so of all the time leading up, you know, like people are trying to collect these legendary blueprints, use these ships, gather a bunch of resources, and he's making it very difficult for them to do that because he's just wiping out their ships that they want to mine with. So this patrol update made it so that now Tim, with the Gala Collective assets, he's able to, he sends most of his, all, I think at this point, he's always sending his patrols to the Ancient in order to protect people that are mining there, because that's just, that just makes sense. You got more mining claims there and more opportunities. And so at first, Randy kind of stayed away from it. And then he started like working like the angles to figure out how he could get in there. And then he's found ways that he will actually be able to take down Tim's ships if he's persistent enough. Now this is costing him, you know, like it's costing him resources. It's costing him credits because he has to rebuild in order to be able to like go at this. But he wants the game to be fun, you know.
Yeah, so he's trying to make it fun for himself.
And that's part of the game. If they create the tokenomics a little bit better, those are the things that are going to get, they can get, you know, recycled back in. There's a lot that can be done here. So,
and it should be frustrating when you get griefed by someone. I mean, I used to play like Ark Survival with my buddies, and like when we'd get griefed by someone coming in with like the gigas and stuff, I'm like, I'm not playing this game for a month because I'm so pissed off. Right? Like, I can't do that all again. And then, you know, a day later, I'm back on doing the same thing. So, but it's because I'm like, we got to go get him back. Like, we got to track him down somehow and find him and take him out. And
that's the fun stuff.
That's the best part of the game. So,
well, to bring my personal story back into this, I've been completely like out of it. I was just farming. And then about a week ago, Randy found my claims, which are just a bit south of the Ancient. And he started attacking my ships. I think to date, he has gotten 6 of them. And thankfully, he only got 6 of my weaker ships. I was a little bit more crafty with my higher level stuff. But he left himself open. He ended up mining on a claim also. And he left himself open to retaliation. I want to give a shout out to that guy, Jay, for the heads up, because he found him. And he found him just enough time for me to start just launching a full-scale attack on him. So at this point, the mechanic for support ships is if you're in a battle, it's pretty much a one-to-one trade. If you have a support ship, it'll take out one of their support ships. You know, like there's other math involved there. But if you try to do that at someone's home base, it doesn't work out that way because you have so many other capital ships there at the home base. You know, some of these people have the maximum 2,000 capital ships that are helping to defend their home base, and all of that firepower kind of aggregates and minimizes the damage that you can do with your ships coming in. But in this situation where you're using patrol ships, that's not as many ships. Yeah, there is some additive, maybe even geometric effect in regards to the math, but you can punch them a bunch harder. You can really hurt them if you send a sizable enough ship. And then also a support ship complement. And so we managed to take down 350,000 of his support ships. We never got his actual ships. He was his initial response to it. He only had 2 patrol ships out there. His initial response was to send more patrol ships, not realizing that he had triggered us and we were not going to back down. And so the more ships he sent, the more ships that gave us to blow up, and we just kept chewing through his defenses. He almost lost his 2 big legendary attack ships, but he pulled them out just in time. But we did do a bunch of damage to him, and he of course used some credits to to accelerate his building process. He got a bunch of ships back, but there's like a new awareness that combat is live now. We're not just a bunch of farmers anymore. There's going to be individual efforts. There's going to be group efforts. The Moth has been awakened, and we are looking for the right ways to defend our turf there around the Ancient claim. And we have somebody who wants to like challenge us on that. So it's getting interesting there. Good. There is some fun to be had. Again, please, I'm not at all addressing the tokenomics. If you want to get in there because you think the earnings might be something compelling, they're not. That doesn't mean that they can't be, but as of now, it's really only just a game to have fun with. But it does give you the opportunity to build up your account. So if you can get your home base built up, when they do something different with tokenomics, you're going to be in a much better position to capitalize on that. So I would suggest, if you have any interest in the game at all, get in and be at least be faithful to upgrading your base buildings, your command center and the other buildings like that, because it will put you in a better position if they ever make the right kind of adjustments to the tokenomics. We have one last thing to talk about, and that is that they announced a March 11th launch for Legends Reborn. So we're looking forward to a new card game to come out into blockchain gaming, this one through Gala. Those of you that have played the playtests in the past, there's been a lot of like really good feedback about the gameplay. So we're hoping that they nail the tokenomics. We're expecting to see like a light paper a little bit in advance of the launch. Anita on Ahead of the Game episode 40 mentioned that this Thursday they're going to have an interview with the devs. So they might be giving some information out there. So pay attention to Ahead of the Game, the Ahead of the Game episode this week. If you want to get in on that interview.
Did you say March 11th?
Yes, Monday, March 11th.
Monday, March 11th. That's an interesting day. I like that day.
Cool day.
It's a fun day. March 11th.
So now we're kicking back to the beginning of the show. So, those of you who are paying attention,
I just
be paying sure attention.
I was okay. Just making sure it was March 11th. Just trying to see. Is it March 11th? I like March 11th. March 11th is a good day.
I can't help but sleuthing this stuff out and dropping
it. I bet you somebody's birthday is March 11th.
Oh, yeah. Well, 311 was pretty cool back in the day, you know. And,
what is it? 310 to Yuma, 311 to Yuma.
Oh the 310 to Yuma. Awesome. I'm thinking of like the Stoner Rock 311. they had some pretty sweet tunes. Anyway, yeah. Don't forget the banner. Banner.
We're working with NFT Lookup, and we're gonna have them put up a GG Collective banner up there and promote. I mean, we're here to promote each other.
Yeah, he's doing awesome. I mean, he's doing awesome stuff. Like, there's no reason why we don't want to support him as much as possible, showcase what he's doing. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, agreed.
100%.
So that's the bulk of the game news. I don't know. Do we have anything else that we want to chat about? Anything else that that people's curiosity got piqued about some of this stuff? This was actually kind of an exciting week. I was really thankful that I'm healthy again. I had some energy back this week, so I tackled a bunch of stuff. Outside the Gala ecosystem, we're pointing our attention at Star Atlas. That's been fun for me. I don't know if we ever want to, maybe we could have a separate show for that, or maybe just some articles.
Yeah, something. I think what we'll do is we're going to keep the Gala Gazette and keep it all Gala and, yep, you know, GG stuff. We'll keep it all there. Anything outside of that, if it's outside of Gala, then I think we're going to start another podcast or partner with somebody that's already doing, you know, podcasts in those arena. Yeah, definitely Star Atlas is, you know, in the hunt for stuff. We like, you know, I've been saying it for a long time, though. Like, Michael Wagner is one of the coolest, most down-to-earth guys.
Great guy.
You know, developers of a game that I've talked to, and I've talked to a lot. Like, I hold him in high regard, much with Mike McCarthy, who's, you know, a good friend of mine. But, yeah, I've been talking to him, you know, about a lot of things there. And I think, you know, back to Miranda's loot, right? Got Earth that asked a question here. Maybe we'll answer some questions. There's a couple other things that were in there too. So will support roles only get materium and no chance at ancient loot with current? So the main idea that was talked about is support roles, it's all going to be about hit percentage, right? So when you're attacking, is hit percentage. So these support role people, unfortunately, if you're just a loner out there in a support role type deal, you're going to get no hit damage for the loot stuff. So, but what it does is it creates a very powerful character in the guilds. And you can offer your services to these guilds if you're a very good support role and healing. in creating this partnership that's a little bit different than just, you know, one for one, you know, hit to this. It creates a community aspect of what has to happen with that support role. I think is really unique. And some people were mentioning like you could, you know, give, you could give a hit buff to with your healing as well. So then you do get some damage that would go into it and be a part of it, and which you could. But I think the idea of what could be built here with the support roles are going to be really rare, but they're going to be needed. I think they're going to be a unique and very sought out character. And it's going to be tough because people are like, well, I don't get any hit. I don't get hit rolls here, right? You know, to be able to get the loot. But there's so much more that can be built from it. And I think it'll be really fun to watch that happen. So
there's something else to that too. Like, yeah, within the guild, for sure, that's going to be a necessary role.
Yeah, and it's going to be guilds. It's going to be guild-driven, though.
But, well, in addition to that, it also creates a sort of almost like a rogue class, not rogue in the sense of backstab and sneak around, but there's a marketable quantity there that they can say, hey, we're going to attack this, and that support character can know what kind of loot drops from that, and they can be like, I know what you're after, I know what this is going to cost me. You need to pay me for this. You know, it can create
front end. Like, you're going to give me the X amount for whatever duty I do now.
Yes. And that wouldn't even necessarily have to be guild related. You know, that could be something that there, you just have healers for hire and stuff like that. Bards for hire, you know, it creates a new industry essentially, because if it's a healer, they're going to be casting spells. That's going to be directly burning materium. They're going to be spending money to keep you alive.
Yep.
You know, and so they need to be able to have some assurance of compensation there.
It's going
to
create a whole new ecosystem or economy of its own, is the healers and the support roles.
Well, it's going to be a game within a game of people. Yeah, it's the...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, playtest speculation. Spell and Monster saying early Q2, then King's Mark late Q4. 100% agree. April. Let's see it. April playtest. And so they talked about it too, is it's a continuous playtest, but they will let you know when things break, they're taking it down to fix it. Meaning, you know, they've got to take 2 weeks, pull it down, and then push it back up. So.
So are you saying that the persistent one will be Q2 also? It looked like Smiling Monster was projecting that it was going to take a little bit more time to get that particular iteration.
So when you say persistent, it's, you know, I mean
as compared to the field of battle test that has the deer in it. You know, the actual one where you can go out and kill goblins and get materium. Is that the one that you're projecting for Q2 still?
I may say too much. We'll just leave it at the fact that it's we're gonna go Q4s. Yeah, persistent.
Q4 sounds good. We don't know. We're just making stuff up.
I don't know. But I mean, they've talked about it too. Like, when they say persistent, it's not constantly going, right? Where when you looked at The Walking Dead, it was continually going, and then they just pushed an update where they're going to push an update to where it breaks, and then they're going to take it down, right? Yeah. They're going to be like, okay, we're fixing, here's a list of things we're fixing, and we're going to bring it back up in 1 week. We're going to bring it back up in 2 weeks. Boom, and it's down. That's going to be the idea of persistent. They're also talking about, you know, seasons, in quotations, of, you know, you're going to be able to, it's going to start out at like a week and then potentially move to a month. And their idea, you know, hopefully at some point in time, it's just continuous all over. But that's a long time down the road, because you're talking about building a massive game with massive players to get to that point. So
yeah, I recall that from the Fireside chat. They were touching on that they want to extend the duration of it time after time, but
exactly.
But they can't. It's going to take time to build the infrastructure up to the point where it can handle that. So
yeah,
amazing games take a long time to make.
Oh yeah. For sure. And yeah, D testing is supposed to be Q4. The first one is they're going to have shops that you can go into that, you know, would at some point in time during Q4, people will drop their own shops, a forge or a tavern or whatever, that kind of stuff. So, but the first one is they have them all built in, but it's not going to be somebody else's deeds yet. That's not built on this one. Yeah.
Cool. Well, that brings us to about the 45-minute mark.
Yeah. That was a good one.
I was really happy we had this chat today, guys. We can do this again sometime.
We should do it again. We should do it again. Maybe next Monday at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic.
When is somebody going to make us the elf GIF where it says, he's coming, like, Santa's coming to town. It's like, Santa's coming.
10 a.m.
10 a.m. Santa's coming to town. But I want to say, 10 a.m., Gala Gazette's coming to town. That's what
I could honestly probably make that.
I need somebody to make that so we can use that.
I am not your guy. I am not an artist. I am a wordsmith at best.
You are a wordsmith.
Well,
all right, everybody.
Thanks for joining us, guys.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.
We'll be back with more soon.